It's good to see each of you here this morning. We have several visitors, and we are thankful to have you. The resurrection of Jesus Christ may very well be the most important event that has ever happened in the world. We have heard more about the resurrection for the last few days than any time during the year. I find myself somewhat with mixed emotions about what's taking place. On the one hand, I'm a bit concerned about some of the celebrations that will take place today that will become a substitute for many people for regular worship. There are people who will talk about the resurrection of Jesus today who will not be present maybe any other Lord's Day during the year in any kind of a worship assembly to think about Christ. And certainly you and I know that there is no authority for selecting just one day out of the year to remember the resurrection of Jesus. However, I am also concerned when those of us, particularly in the church, allow the religious world in general to take the subject of the resurrection away from us. And sometimes there are those who will suggest that we not mention the resurrection today because we might be misunderstood if we did. I, for one, believe that we do need to mention the resurrection, that we need to think about the resurrection, and we need to put it in proper focus. Perhaps you have had the experience that I have sometime in the past of having someone look at you and say, "You folks in the Church of Christ do not celebrate the resurrection of Jesus." I immediately will answer to them, "Oh yes, we do. In fact, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every Lord's Day. And I hope we remember the resurrection of Jesus every day because it is so important." If you stop and think about it for a moment, the death of Jesus doesn't have much meaning without the resurrection. Other people have died. Other people have died on a cross. Other people have been crucified. Other people have shed blood. But no one else has died on a cross and shed his blood to be buried and then to be raised from the tomb, never to die again, except Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The birth of Jesus is very important. But there have been other babies born. There have been other babies born in circumstances like a stable. Perhaps there have been others that have been laid in something that would be comparable to a manger, but never another baby born that would live some 33 and a half years and die on the cross and be buried and rise from that grave, never to die again. The resurrection may be the most important part of the life of Christ. Let me share with you several verses from 1 Corinthians 15. This is called the resurrection chapter. I'm picking up at verse 14. "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Did you hear the impact of that? If Christ is not risen, we might as well quit preaching. And there is no reason for us to have faith. "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Jesus are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Folks, the resurrection is, in a sense, the foundational fact that makes us really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And being able to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the foundation upon which the church is a reality to us. It makes it possible for our faith to be strong and founded in the right and with the right roots. Makes it possible for any sermon that comes from the Word of God to have meaning. Makes it possible as Christians for us to look death squarely in the face and not be afraid, because we believe that we serve a risen Savior. But I want to suggest to you this morning when you and I can really think about the resurrection of Jesus. First, we're able to think about it when we visit the empty tomb. Some of us in the audience this morning have had the privilege of visiting the place that is suggested as the tomb of Jesus. In fact, there are two different places in the Jerusalem area where Jesus is said to have been buried. I was able to visit the garden tomb. There's another place that is supposed to be under one of the large buildings that's in that area. Many of you have not had the privilege of visiting the physical place that is claimed to be where Jesus was buried. And let me say, I have no way to prove that either of those two places was where Jesus was buried. But as I stood and visited the empty tomb in the garden near Golgotha and looked at the features of it, the tomb that had been uncovered, I was able to think of several points at least that are mentioned in the Bible that would apply to that tomb. For example, the door was open, the stone was rolled back. Place where they claim there that Jesus was buried was a bit unusual toward the front of the tomb, and yet that fits how the apostle looked in and saw that the body was not there. And when I visited that tomb, I thought of the resurrection of Jesus, because the one thing that stood out there and stands out at the other place that some claim to be the place where he was buried is that the tomb was empty. I visited David's tomb. They said, here's his body. This is where his body lies. When I visited the tomb of George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, Sadat, others, this is where his body is. But at the tomb of Jesus, this is where his body was, they claim. Empty tomb. Now, many of you have not had the privilege of visiting one of those sites, but you can turn to Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20. You can visit the empty tomb on a regular basis. You can read, for example, in each of those, he is not here, he is risen. Come see the place where the body lay. See the clothes in which he was wrapped, the napkin that was around his head that was wrapped separately and lying by itself. You can visit the empty tomb of Jesus every day of your life by opening the Word of God and reading what is said about that tomb. And each time you and I are able to visit the empty tomb in either of these chapters, or even if we're just meditating on God's Word, and we remember what is said there, and we picture Jesus coming forth from that tomb and picture that empty tomb, we can remember the resurrection of Jesus. We can remember it every time we visit the empty tomb. In the second place, you and I can remember the resurrection of Jesus every time we witness someone being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. 2 weeks ago, Bill Moore was baptized. We took him down into the water, lowered him under the water, and raised him from that watery grave of baptism. Listen to what Romans 6 says. We have a tendency just to read verses 3 and 4 there. Starting at verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death. Notice that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Colossians 2:12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also we are risen with him through faith in the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Notice, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. October the 19th, 1953, Brother J.B. Gaither placed me below the water and brought me back up in resurrection from that watery grave of baptism, that my past sins might be forgiven, that I might become a Christian, that I might begin walking the Christian life. And each one of you who's a Christian can probably remember the time, even if you don't remember the specific date. And every time, whether it's at a service or whether it's sometime during the week, day or night, that we come together here or anywhere else, that there is enough water to do what the Bible clearly teaches, to bury someone in baptism, and then we see the resurrection of a new life, because the blood of Jesus Christ has worked on the sins, and there is a new life. Every time we witness someone being baptized into Jesus Christ, we ought to be remembering the resurrection of Jesus. And then every time we assemble around the Lord's table, we are remembering the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11:24 through 26, when he'd given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Notice, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup of the New Testament is in my blood, this do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Over in Acts, the second chapter, in that passage where Peter was preaching, preaching the first gospel sermon on Pentecost, look at verse 30, 31. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell or Hades, neither did his flesh see corruption. He said Christ went into the Hadean world, but he came back. And that resurrection is what makes it possible for a sermon like Peter's to be preached, concluding that God hath made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Every time you and I surround the Lord's table, we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ as we show his death until he comes. That resurrection is between those two events and makes the death real and makes us through faith to see his coming as real, because he came back from the grave. He was resurrected. And when we look at what Jesus did in the institution of the Lord's Supper, and remember he told the apostles in the Great Commission, teach those who were converted to him to observe whatsoever things he had commanded. And we see in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, the disciples coming together upon the first day of the week to break bread. The same language that's used with the contribution, the first day of the week in 1 Corinthians 16, the same article that's used with the Sabbath day in Exodus 20. We conclude that every Lord's Day we are to break the bread and drink the fruit of the vine. And when we do that, folks, we are remembering not only the death and burial, but the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in a fourth way, you and I can remember and do remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ every time we go to the cemetery to bury one, especially one who has lived the Christian life. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and verse 14, there's an interesting statement made. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 14. God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. And then back to that beloved chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul preached on the subject of the resurrection at Mars Hill. Different reactions are given in verses 32 through 34, but look at verses 30 and 31. Times of this ignorance God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Watch this. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Tuesday, when we walked to the graveside and took the body in which Lee Grantham had lived for almost 72 years, the comments that were made there reminded us of the resurrection of Jesus, and that because of that we believe in that resurrection, and we believe that there is a reward, and we believe that we can see each other again in heaven. And all that's made possible by the resurrection of Jesus as a part of the overall plan of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Peter said in 1 Peter, beginning at verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath given us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did you notice the word hope? A lively hope. And it's because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Why do we believe that there's going to be a judgment? Why do we believe and have assurance that we can be ready at that judgment? Why do we believe as we take the body of a loved one and put it back into Mother Earth and mention that the Spirit has returned to God, that there will be a resurrection and that we can be together again in heaven? Why do we believe that? Basically because of the resurrection of Jesus. And folks, I don't care what the world does, what the religious world does, let's be sure that we don't let anybody take the importance of the resurrection away from us today or the other 51 Sundays this year or the other 364 days this year. Because the resurrection is so important. And you and I can remember it every time we visit the empty tomb by reading God's word. We can remember it every time we witness someone being baptized into Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. We can remember it every Lord's Day when we assemble around the Lord's table. And we can remember it every time we go to the cemetery to bury a loved one or a friend. And when we remember that, we can believe that it's worthwhile to be a Christian. and that heaven can be a reality. But how in the world can you say you believe in the resurrection of Jesus when you have not been raised to walk in newness of life with Him? Or if you're not walking in that newness of life? If you need, as a penitent believer, to be baptized into Christ and raised from that baptism to walk in newness of life or to renew that newness of life, just think about the importance of the resurrection of Jesus all the time. And think about it especially this morning as the invitation of His is extending. Come if you need to, as together we stand and sing.
Watching for you and for me.
Few announcements before we conclude. If you would at this time pass the attendance card to the inside aisles. If you are visiting with us, we welcome you again and hope that you have filled out one of the cards. Other announcements. Laura Elizabeth Welch was born yesterday to Becky and Damon. David and Dwina Willis are the grandparents. Jay Walker and Louise Whittle are the great-grandparents. Kay Mayfield, Rayford's wife, died this morning. They are members out at Finger, but they have attended here a great deal. Mrs. Willie Mae McDaniel died on March the 20th. She lived in Mississippi and was 97 years of age. She was the mother of Hank McDaniel. Virgie Ellis fell and is in the Vanderbilt Hospital in Nashville. Ramona Burns, mother of Drexel, is in Jackson General for observation. The Burns have moved to Henderson just this past week. The FHU Associates will meet Monday at 7 p.m. in our education building, and a thank you note has been posted from the family of Lee Grantham. Okay.
Please turn in your songbooks to number 282. 282, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. I'd like to ask that you stand as we sing this and remain standing for our closing prayer.
I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know